Welcome. This is Target 24/7, a UNC basketball podcast. To like, share, and subscribe to the channel, make sure you go to target247.com. We got YouTube, we got Spotify, whatever you want to do. So, but without further ado, I want to welcome my guy DG, man. So,
yo,
how you doing? So before we get to the Carolina stuff, what are you up to? How are things going?
What's up, brother? Good to see you, man. Long time. Everything's going well, man. We just talked about it briefly. I'm doing the parenting thing somewhat.
Yeah, yep.
Can't call myself a real parent. I've only been doing it for 2 years, a little over 2 years now. I got two of them.
I'm 3 in, so am I ahead of you right now?
Yeah, you're ahead of me. But I got two of them. Two, they're 23 months apart. So yeah, we're in the thick of it. The second one is about to be 6 months. So it's a 2-year-old and some change in 6 months. So
okay.
Cool. But outside of that, man, everything's good. Just doing stuff with different networks. So some stuff with Spectrum. They cover the Lakers, so I do a little bit here and there with them. Of course, ESPN, NBA Today is always dope and challenging for me. Crazy enough, recently did some stuff with Apple Vision, which is also through Spectrum. So I'll call some games through Apple Vision. Call a couple games randomly here and there through Compass. They do Compass Radio, being a color analyst. And then I've done the association, which is also in LA, which is NBA TV.
I saw that.
So yeah, a little bit of everything, man. You know, just trying to get as many reps as possible in, you know, but it's been fun. It's been cool. It's been learning a lot in the space. But yeah, things are going well, man. With you, how's everything going with you?
Everything is good with me. I'm calling games for CBS. I kind of do similar things, you know, some studio stuff with them. And so yeah, it's fun. It keeps me around the game, keeps me a little bit busy, but you also have your freedom. So I like it, you know.
Yeah, flexible schedule, you know, a little bit.
So, here we go. Let's get to this West Coast road trip.
Man.
I know the sky is falling for these Carolina fans, and I was actually talking before air. We lost two games out West.
Yeah.
I, for as long as I can remember, for some reason, Carolina always goes through these weird kind of stretches. I think you guys started off conference play rough when you won it. We got beat by 20. By Georgia Tech and made a lineup change. So it happens. So
it does.
You know, recap kind of what you think about the Stanford-Cal kind of situation and where do you see us going from here?
Again, like you said, I mean, knowing who we are, you're going to get everybody's best shot every night. Yep. You get the rookie Okoro getting like 36. Like that happens. We had Tyrese Rice give us 30 and a half. Like guys are going to shoot lights out. We figured out a way to come back and be settled and still win the game because we had some experience and maturity. This team is younger, so they don't have that right now. Like, we also had Tyler, who was a bruiser. It's like, if we're going to lose, he's going to get somebody in foul trouble, slow the game down somehow. The big, big lineup. It is a different age and a new era. And I want to preface this before I get into that. I am by no means a coach and far removed from college. I'm not second-guessing or doubting what Hubert is doing. I just put out some feelers, suggestions of things that could work or be changed up, right? Now, the Stanford game, we was winning the whole game. I don't know why, like, we dropped that. Shouldn't have lost that game.
Yeah.
But, I mean, again, we look at the numbers that somebody also sent to me that you put out there. UNC was now ranks 18th ACC play in efficiency, like field goal percentage defense at 61%. Mm-hmm. Three-point field goal percentage defense at 45, basically. 17th in defense efficiency, 13th in two-point field goal defensive efficiency, 54%. We once led the nation in two-point field goal percentage about a month ago.
Yep.
We're 248th nationally in field goal percentage defense, 57.8 versus top 100 opponents. Last year's team was 79th. ACC teams are shooting three-pointers at 51.3% of the time versus UNC, which is the highest percentage in conference, and assisting on 58.9%. of their baskets, 15th highest.
Yeah.
Basically, all these numbers you've seen said the three pointers is going crazy, right?
Yeah.
Say all that to say this. I saw some of the. I said I didn't get to watch the whole game. I saw both games and I watched it in condensed clips of what I'm watching. And of course, it's kind of similar to what I've seen when I watch them play. And it's most of the threes. Again, one of the big men hit a shot. It was like his first three of the whole year. Mm-hmm. But most of these threes are the bigs not being out there or Caleb being late on the closeout. Mm-hmm. And if we're not going to kill teams on the glass and punish them on rebounds or inside and get them.
We're the worst. We are three, I think, sub 350 in turning teams over. So we're not getting extra possessions.
But we're also taking care of the ball. We're shooting terribly from the free throw line. But if we're not going to rebound and kill teams inside, we're also not looking like a great rim protection team. But we can't let teams kill us from three. So I know the big lineup, we're great inside with bigs. I don't mind it doing it to start the game, maybe to finish, depending on the matchups. Like, you know how the Houston Rockets are. They have Steven Adams, Sengun. Certain teams, you got to change. You might need to switch it up. You know, the Knicks have Mitchell Robinson, Cat. Sometimes switch up with Josh Hart. It might be some treasure or some gold in finding us doing just a one starting big lineup, having four guards, but we'll switch a little bit better and just run guys off the line. If depending on how the game goes, all right, if they're coming out hot, which it seems like everybody's having their best games against Carolina, which they always do because it's Carolina. We get guys drafted. We got the change of defense to funnel everybody to the rim and just make them try to finish over Caleb like as best you can, or Vassar. Like, you know what I'm saying? Let's get four guards out there switching, kind of like a Wemby situation, how Wemby's always switching, somehow keeping himself at the basket to where he's not going on the perimeter as much. We can have everybody else rotating around him. One idea. I know that we played some zone. Didn't work well when a team is shooting that well.
I hate when I see some zone. I don't know. It's just, you know, like how we had it, like Roy would die before he put us in the zone.
Yeah, we do like a little point zone. We did it sometimes here and there, but we were more active though. And that was against teams that, again, zone is against teams that can't really shoot it that well and that are killing you inside. And it's also hard to rebound and box guys out individually within the zone. So again, if we're not going to kill them on the glass or turn teams over, we might need to switch to smaller guards, you know, with like four guard rotation with one bigs and just run people off the line and make them try to finish over Caleb inside, which I think we have a better chance of doing, of like keeping them under. And then offensively, if we're going to do big, we got to make sure we kill them inside too. Like, most nights the bigs kill them, but I don't think the Cal game, it didn't look like they were doing what they were supposed to do. Was it the Cal game or Stanford game? I think they both have 26.
It was Cal Cal just kind of like schemed them up. Like Cal was, shout out to Mark Madsen. I actually watched both games just literally today at a long trip back home. So I was watching both games and Cal was preying on Caleb Wilson's overhelp.
They were why they were killing him. And he was always, he's the one that seemed like always closing out and trying to get back to a shooter that's knocking down threes. Cal's the game that they had, you know, him and Vassar had 17 and 14, which is decent. But nah, like y'all, and they were down damn near double digits most of that game. Which is kind of unacceptable. But you have those nights. Again, you find ways to get back in it when you have some seniority or some maturity. Seth is like the only, like, I guess, older guard out there, but
that's what I noticed too. Like, I kind of put in my notes, like, defensive accountability. Like, I'm watching, and as a player, you just watch different things than a normal fan. So, like, when there's a bad switch, who was anybody talking? Like,
yeah,
just looking and pointing, which is what they were doing. Caleb was – it almost seems like Caleb kind of doesn't have necessarily a coverage, right? Like, sometimes
They're in a down, they're in a push. It's like you don't know. And if they don't get it down on the sideline, I see one time he got over the top of the screen. He's always a second late, and he's more so protecting the basket. And that's what it looks like. And you're right. It looks like he doesn't know what the coverage is, or he doesn't have a coverage.
Yes.
Or somebody's not communicating the coverage correctly. And a lot of this is also transition. Like when you have two bigs, it's harder to match up in like to me, it seems that way.
In this day and age, it's tough.
It's hard. You got two bigs. Most of the bigs are naturally just running to the paint, and they're not running to shooters. So if you have them in rotation, it's harder for them to get there. And if you have them running back and trying to match up with guys, also bigs that can stretch the floor, it's harder to find those shooters. So I mean, again, I'm not opposed to the big thing. I just think it's harder when certain things are not rolling your direction
I think that's a great point you made. I didn't think about that because I am a big. But if you're not going to rebound at a high level, offensive rebound, board, block shots, then the big lineups or the three big lineup just needs to disperse because it's no point. You might as well put a guard out there. That's a great point.
You're not rebounding like that anyway. You know what I'm saying? You're not killing them on the offensive glass. You're not
punishing them. You're not Florida. You're not getting 50% of your misses. Yeah. You need to – yeah, it's a good point.
Exactly. That's what – basically I said because I said I'm far removed from college, so I'm not trying to say Hubert's not doing a good job. I'm removed from college. I've watched some of it, but I'm not going to act like I know exactly how the college game is supposed to go. But when I watch Houston Rockets, if you're going to go big, that's how your lineup needs – y'all need to be on the glass, big front line, big backcourt, and killing them on the glass. That should be your superpower if you're doing that. But if you're not doing that, like I said, the rebounds are even. I think Stanford game or Cal game is even, and I think they won by 10. They won by 10 the Stanford game. They out-rebounded by 10. But Cal game, I think, was even.
The best teams, because I'm in college basketball, like we're kind of opposite ends, but I'm in college basketball. The best teams that are big kill you on the glass. And so that's kind of the formula. And then if they don't kill you on the glass, you got Bama, who got three skaters out there, right, that could go get it. So also on the Cal game, he didn't start Kyan Evans. You know, starting point guards for the last four games are averaging 27.5 points, 8.7 assists. Is that a defensive thing, a mindset thing, or you know what? Like, we see Carolina Blue, like, it's time to get right.
It's a collective. It's all, you know, it's all the, but I mean, it's Carolina Blue for sure. We're going to get right. It's definitely a defensive thing and a personnel thing.
Yeah.
And it's covered. Like, when we play defense as a guard, and it was different for you when you approach the game, how I approach the game. I know my guys' habits, and maybe they're not as good as it, but I know I'm not stopping a Bradley Beal on my own. I'm not stopping a James Harden on my own. I'm not stopping any Kevin Durant, none of those guys. I can take away two things at most for you. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? Like, my job is take away three or take away mid-range or get up in him, you know what I'm saying, or make him go to his right hand and give him if whatever his weakness is. If he shoots terrible at the mid-range, we're going to give up mid-range or floaters. If he's terrible at three, we're going to go under and make him shoot contested threes. But I'm not taking away everything. You know what I'm saying? I can't take away three, mid-range, and the rim. You know what I'm saying? So, like, you want me to protect the paint? All right, I'll try to keep him out of the paint. But I can't take away three as well. Yeah. So it's either the coverage is that, all right, we didn't know this kid could score 36 like that. Like, he wasn't shooting it that well, and he just came out and got hot. But you make these adjustments halftime.
He was averaging 22. He was averaging 22.
So he was known. He wasn't – yeah, he wasn't like – he been was playing.
That report. And
again, I'm just putting a generalization out there. But, yes, he
– well. The defensive energy for when they were down for the Cal game, I personally think is the energy that they should come out with. Like, you know, more. I think there needs to be more. If you're not with the length and size you have, at least, you know, maybe the nine in the wing. And I know it's different schemes and you're playing drops, but like, I'm not saying we had the most fleet footed bigs back in the day, but we still had to be up. Like, it just is what it was.
Because we always played a show. I think when we,
Yeah, we did a hard show.
Oh, yeah, you had to get over, get underneath your teammate. Like, we did a lot of that, and somebody be rotating on the weak side. So you had to be up as a big. Yeah. And that might be an adjustment, especially with pick-and-pop shooting bigs. Like, that's what it's either a switch or a show, and you make them roll, or you can show and get back to them high hands on that closeout. But, yes, bigs got to be up in a communication. Again, I'm not stopping certain guys, even pin-down shooters like a Joe Harris or J.J. Redick. Yeah. It is very important that a big is touching the big, and when he comes with that pin down, he shows a hand to at least deter the shooter or ball handler, whatever, to not just catch and be comfortable behind the three-point line. They're, like, setting their man up, getting over screen, and wide-open looks.
I got a question. I started shooting later in my career. I was 37%, by the way. Don't sleep on
me. Okay.
You know, as a shooter, right, if you get that first one lined up, it's feeling good. Like, what affected you? We just talking hoops now because I'm curious. Yeah. Like, what got you going? Like, an open shot, maybe a layup, a free throw? Like, because I feel like in these games, right, these guard, like, you know, you're playing Carolina, top 15 team, nothing to lose. You line that thing up and you start feeling good. Like, so tell me as a shooter, what is your – How do you get off? Like, when you start going, what usually happens?
It's a combination of things, and it's also the opponent. So the opponent, it's easier for me to just not think about the outside noise. It's like, oh, I'm coming here to kill him. I'm making a statement. Yeah. But it's like your first three shots, and it's not even about – it's also how you're guarded on the shots. You're going to come out – I'm coming out aggressive. If I get good looks and that first one goes in, it's trouble. You know what I'm saying? But that was me. Like, most shooters, all it takes is one. But if they get a clean look or rhythm in the first two shots for sure, if not three, that determines a lot of guys' nights, those first two instances. You know what I'm saying? Like, if you're up there and just – even just trap – like, oh, are we going to trap him? Or we're going to throw a trap him just the first play of the game. Now he's like, okay. You know this with any good player, you can't give him a steady diet of anything. Yeah. And that's even with role players. You know, with me, it was like, oh, he's not going to handle the ball. We're going to trap him on the sidelines. You know where this kid is? We're going to make him try to make a play in a trap. This is the point guard. We get the ball out of his hands, make somebody else beat us, or at least trap him every third play or something like that. You know, we had the fist, the double fist, where we're going to trap on the dribble, trap on the pass, mix it up some. Yep. Now, again, the zone is a different way to throw some things in it, just junk it up some. It didn't work, but again, for me, I'm not trying to say like Huber did wrong, but I feel like we could throw out more different things out there, Maybe we don't have the personnel for it, but we at least try and find out or see. But again, the point guard scoring is not on the one point guard. It's part of it. He's not showing up and being physical. Guys are too comfortable. Make the referees give you two quick ones. Get physical with them. Make them feel you. You know what I'm saying? And if it's calling tight, then you let off. But we're letting them too comfortable. We're not throwing enough traps or different things at them to make them, you know, feel like they're not – like they're just too comfortable, bro. Like I feel like they're not feeling like they're like a focal point and they're in good rhythm. You got to throw different shit at them.
I think that's it. I think too comfortable is the key. And obviously they're going to go back, right? You know how it goes. They're going to practice and they're going to free point. I think they'll be fine because I think there's also some three-point regression coming. Like teams aren't going to just keep hitting 50%.
They're not going to keep doing it. And we're not going to shoot that. Well, we can shoot better from the free throw line. Yeah. I know we can do that. Yeah. We didn't shoot great against Cal from three-point line, but again, it wasn't terrible. But yeah, we'll shoot better. We'll be better. But again, we can still change certain things to make our – like when you're not playing well offensively, you still got to give yourself a chance by playing good defense.
Yeah.
And our defense right now, the rotations are, I feel like, a second late or a second behind. Partially is because we have two bigs on the floor, maybe three big, who knows? Partially is because the coverages, they're not communicating. That's just maturity and of age.
Yeah.
We're not being physical. But I also think, again, we need to just have a set thing of how we're doing it. We're running guys off the line. When they're getting hot, we're running everybody off the line and funnel them to the basket. They're not going to beat us with enough twos at the rim finishing over Caleb and Vassar. Like
100%.
You know what I'm saying? So
I always like think about, you know, in my professional days, like, especially towards the end, like, where they were like, look, like, it went from like gap him challenge to like, no, don't let him shoot the three. Like, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Like,
that's yeah.
How to be now. These,
it like, changes overnight, bro. It changes overnight, especially once you hit your first two, like, all right, we're going to change this up a little bit. But looking at the teams, they're shooting. They're shooting a lot of three, like half of their shots are threes.
And I feel we have the according to KenPom, we have one of the best 2-point defenses in the country, actually number four. So teams, we're the fourth best 2-point percentage defense. So there might be something to that.
Because all they're doing, because they're pretty much, they're not taking a bunch of them, but if they are, they're taking mostly threes. But you have to, teams that are shooting well or they're known to shoot well, you have to limit their threes. They're taking 56 shots for the game. They're shooting 28 threes. Like, you know what I'm saying? That's yeah. Both teams. When I looked at it, both teams shot like 26 to 28 threes. And, oh, you're getting 56, like, team attempts. So, again, limit their threes, run them off the line, whether it's baseline, middle. I'm personally, like, forcing baseline. Run them off the line and then just funnel them to Caleb. Good luck. I dare you to finish over him.
You know, if you don't, you know, and we kind of put a bow on this, like, you know, for me, like, if you don't turn teams over and you're not shooting threes at a high rate and you take a lot of twos, which we do because we have bigs, your room for – your margin for error is so slim. So, like, I remember we used to play y'all when I was coming in. J.K. would be like, yo, like, we have a small margin of error. Like, they don't, though. Like, they
yeah.
Ebbs and flows, they're going to be fine. They've got the type of players. They've got the type of team. Like your 0-9 team. You had a high margin for error, and y'all didn't have much error. That's why y'all
ran.
So
we had a great inside out. Like, with me and Wayne on the wings, and we started inside out. Like, we still got the shooting. And then defensively, we still had some good people. Like, we rotated, and we also had guys on the bench like Ed Davis blocking shot. You know what I'm saying? So, like, we had a good defense.
I mean, y'all just sit down. I just remember y'all just sit down, like, and like, y'all just sit down, like, and that's kind of how, like, you know, and it's just personal driven, but, like, you know, even on my team, like, you know, Kendall wasn't necessarily the best defender, but we had Reggie, Harrison, Lee's, like, you know.
Y'all had big guard. Y'all had big guards. Like, even when you go back to, even when Raymond used to sit down, but he had Jackie. He had, you know, Jawado. Like, he had Sean. He had a bunch of guys on the wings that could do some good stuff for them. You know, Dave would come in. Dave Noel, like. They had guys that would strap Dave, up. You know what I'm saying?
I had Big May on. It's crazy. Dave finished the game down the stretch defensively for that championship. Yeah. So, interesting things, man. So, look, just some suggestions. People would love to hear that. They're going through some message boards. Like, the sky's
everybody's not panicking. Yeah, sky's, everybody's panicking, and it's just, you know, because Carolina, we got all this money. It's still it's a process with everything, right? Yeah. We don't always get every recruit that we want to get. You know what I'm saying? And that's not to knock the roster we have. I think we have a good, solid roster. Kids are good enough. They just need more time, you know, some experience. They're inexperienced, so they need some more experience right now and some time to mesh together. But teams are going to have these type of nights against us, right? Like, it happens. And again, I think when we played, we might have started 0-2 when the team we won the year that we won.
I remember that.
We went further each year, but even when Ty and them came in, it was my sophomore, junior, senior year, we were good. We went to Final Four back-to-back years. And both those years, I don't think we started off great. And we had games that we lost to Maryland. You know what I'm saying? Like, it happens. And we were more mature than this group tonight, that we have now. They just need a little bit of grace, a little bit of time. They'll be fine. They'll turn around. It's a wake-up call, and it's better to have it now than later in the year.
For sure. And finally, kind of to finish everything off, Notre Dame's coming up. Slow tempo team. They're missing their best player. Not really much to tell about, you know, as far as like, you know, they are who they are. You know, Coach Shrewsbury is a really good team. But this is a Notre Dame team that held Stanford to 40 points. So, you know.
Good defensively.
So, you know, do you kind of have any kind of, you know, quick analysis on maybe that game or how you think we should approach it?
Yeah, for sure. I mean, for me, they're a solid team, but they're not supposed to be better than us, right? And it's not about them. At this point, it's not about anybody. It's about us being us and figuring out who we are, figuring out what our identity is and working on things we need to work on. And things will take care of itself. And just doing it at a more intense level, higher pace, or just more a higher sense of urgency. So, yeah, if we just go out and we had the practice that we have, and we have some time in between. It's not the NBA, so you have some time to practice and relax and refocus and watch film. Get in your drill work, go through it, make sure you're doing, knowing your rotations, communicating. And, you know, the older guys, seniors, make it a point for guys to communicate. That's all defense is communication. But working on what we need to work on, if we should win the game regardless of how it goes. But if I see some things of like, oh, okay, this is different.
Yeah.
Okay, we're trying something new. This is the time to do it. Like, to, if you're going to experiment some, not crazy, but experiment a little bit right now, this early in the season against a team that is a little slower paced, you have a chance at doing some different things defensively. But again, it's us focusing on us and not worrying about everybody else. As long as I see strong, even if we lose the game, as long as I see strides in the right direction of what we are fixing the weaknesses, I'm cool with it. You know what I'm saying? If we're making some more free throws, if we're going to go big and we actually out rebounding teams, all right, cool. Yeah. If we're running teams off the line or something, or they're not shooting high clip from three, are we moving better in a better direction? Yeah. But yeah, it's really not about Notre Dame at this point anymore.
Yeah. I think this is, you know, it's a new lineup change. I mean, this is the freshman's first start was on a West Coast road trip after a loss. Like, you want to talk about pressure. So there'll be time for him to adjust and you know, practice with the team a little bit. And like you said, I think Notre Dame is going to be a game where, hey, we work on our stuff, we focus on our defense and try to, you know, say we won't call it an experiment, we've got to respect the opponent. But it's time to do things that we say we need to do because, you know, stretch coming up and they need to rattle off some wins here. And I think they'll be fine. ACC, you know, is this juggernaut league. So
it's always a chance you get to get back in it. You know what I'm saying? Like, even if you lose two, like, teams will let you get a chance to get back to the top, to get the 1-2 seed, if, you know, whatever. But yeah, like you said, this is the time to rack up some wins, respect the opponent.
Yep.
You can experiment a little bit, but you got to kick it in gear a little bit now.
Perfect. Look, man, I appreciate you taking the time. I know you're busy.
For sure, brother.
On a Tar Heel, once a Tar Heel, great. So thanks for coming on. And for the folks at home, as always, thanks for watching on YouTube and listening wherever you get your podcast. Be sure to check out TarHeel247.com. for the latest wall-to-wall coverage of Carolina athletics. See you next time.